If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Good morning, Malcolm Nance.
Good morning, Stephanie.
My best to the lovely and talented Mrs. Nance. It was lovely to meet her.
Okay, but you'll always be the second Mrs. Nance.
I love you. Yes, everyone at the dinner party was like, oh my God, Malcolm Nance's wife is fantastic. I'm like, I know, isn't she? Just kidding. Wow, that was a
loner.
We've thrown out an idea. The Malcolm and Maxine show is something that needs to happen. Yeah. You and Maxine Waters together.
That'd be great.
It was fantastic.
Oh, well. Yeah. Well, Maxine is doing it all on her own. She doesn't need me. That's for darn sure.
We all need each other. So, listen, you have a bunch of terrifying tweets as usual. You said German intel agency thinks Trump will assist/ignore Russian active measures against democracy. We are so screwed if this belief spreads. I mean, did you ever think you would see a day where they have turned down the U.S. offer to help in their election, knowing that we're going to assist Russia and not them in protecting their democracy, right?
Yep. Well, you know, in fact, Germany has in the past made statements that they would not accept the United States' help in securing their elections. However, this time the comment was related to cyber operations against Russia, Russia's active measures, and it came a day after Donald Trump went on Twitter and insulted Germany, not once, but multiple times.
Yep.
And, you know, this attack on the U.S.-German relationship is utterly unprecedented.
Yeah.
It has never happened. I mean, the last time we had this kind of animosity was 1940.
Yeah.
So it's Donald Trump has decided that the U.S.-German relationship it has to be recalibrated to Vladimir Putin's goals.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. Because
I'm sure that's a coincidence, because coincidence doesn't take any planning, does it, Malcolm?
Coincidence takes a lot of planning. And in this case, though, but if you look at the tweet that he put out where he said that Germany hasn't met its payments to NATO, he seems to think that membership in NATO is like, you know, being at a club in Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
And that you have to pay dues. You don't. It was a goal established by NATO that by 2024,
right,
each state would be up to 2% of its GDP. Now, that's very true, and Germany is at one point, I think it's 1.6%, and
right,
they're eking their way up, but they have goals and targets that are in place that they have been meeting.
Right.
Trump seems to think that it's some sort of extortion game, that
you
can just go up and say, you're not paying off.
Yeah.
It's just utterly amazing, and people who don't actually know this think it's true.
Yeah. Malcolm, let's talk about, you tweeted on Trump's Twitter account adding 5 million bot users in 3 days. You said Russian cyber warfare support ramping up for POTUS, key intelligence indicator of impending major political activity. What do you mean by that? What do you think's happening?
Well, you know, it appears that the numbers, now that they've gone over the numbers, may be smaller than that, maybe lower than that, maybe as many as just 700 new fake tweet Twitter accounts per hour. But there is something going on where someone has released a massive number of automated bots, which go in and sign in and get fake Twitter accounts established. You can tell them by the, someone has done a video on the internet where they go through them and scroll through them by the hundreds and hundreds, just blue fields, no image, no tweets, you know.
Right.
And we saw this in the run up to the election, that there was this Twitter bot war, and Russia was coordinating it.
Yeah.
And that, in fact, they had live people in operating out of St. Petersburg who had, you know, you can tell they had this Svetlana woman on, you know, in the front, and then all pro-Trump tweets. We think that, and just doesn't come from me, I was tipped off by the Jester, the famous hacker, and now many other cybersecurity companies are checking this out. They believe that this is to amplify a message that Trump is going to, is imminently going to release. And we don't know what that message is, but it may be part of their war room operations. But it is, you saw that they did it. They, if you go to twitteraudits.com, he comes out at 51% of his Twitter followers are real. 49% are fake.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's to amplify fake news, obviously, just like in the election. You know, our friend Bob Seska tweeted, why are certain factions of the left so quick to downplay the Trump RU story? This isn't the primary question of the story, but a major one. And Vanessa was just, we were just talking about this, that it really is upsetting that you're going in the face of this threat to America. You know, that there's people on any side that are so invested in their narrative, right?
Oh, you're absolutely correct. And this has nothing to do with party. This has nothing to do with partisanship, whether you're on the left or you're on the right.
Right.
This has to do with whether you're a patriot to this country or not.
Right.
Do you care that for the first time in 240 years that the United States was attacked by a foreign power and that they sought to put a person in office and may have successfully done that?
Yeah.
You know, people who were on the Trump side say no, they don't care. But that
right.
means that you lose your, you know, you lose your patriotism card.
Right. And I love that everyone has to tiptoe around his ego, right? Whether it's John McCain or Lindsey Graham, they have to keep saying over and over again, well, this obviously had no effect on the outcome of the election. And you're going, are you kidding me?
Well, that's impossible.
Right.
Of course it had an effect on the outcome of the
right.
election. We saw that word cloud that showed, you know, Donald Trump had four or five words that were dominant during the election media coverage, and Hillary Clinton's had one,
yep.
emails. And Russia knew this. Russia was very skilled at this, and they helped the conservative, you know, the Republican Party pushed that narrative, knowing exactly as Donald Trump said last July 27th, the media will reward you greatly. And it's precisely what happened.
Thank you.
That's the plan. There is no way, you know, that you can come up with all of these things fall into sequence.
Malcolm,
properly.
When I met Representative Waters at the curb at my house, she said to me, why is James Comey using a Russian document he knows is fake? And I thought, if you don't know, how am I supposed to know? What? I mean, there are so many stories. What do you make of this whole thing and the Comey involvement?
You know, this is one of those things. You know, I keep giving him a little cover. And here's why. And I know people get on me for this because they fill my inbox. You know, he does not view political things like the Clinton investigation as something that he should take as seriously as what he was taking, you know, as the investigation of the Russian hacking. And I'll tell you why, because that's politics, right? The Clinton thing's politics. He felt buffered by the winds of politics, so he made his statements in relation to that. He had all of these FBI agents who are not counterintelligence guys, just regular gumshoe guys, bringing him this document that he knew was fake, and he had to entertain it. And you know, within the bureau, but then in the end didn't use it, okay? Because he knew it was fake. They knew it was a Russian disinformation operation.
Right.
But when it came to the hacking, I've got to tell you, James Comey is, you know, he does not talk about counterintelligence, counterespionage operation to the point where he was fired. But I have a sneaky feeling he's going to be talking now. And
yeah.
John Brennan, the ex-director of the CIA, who I know, who came out as a raging lion last week. I mean, this guy's going to be the hero
yeah.
of this story. Brad Pitt's going to be playing him in a few years if he loses his hair. And, you know, he came out and just started dropping dimes, saying,
yeah,
this was done to support Trump. This was done as a Russian operation. Yeah, I called the director of the KGB. I think Comey's testimony has now been set. You know, Trump screwed him. He drew a line. He crossed the line and then tried to get him to fire, to get him to change his opinion, then fired him, and then tried to get the intelligence community after the fact to come on board and say, you know, the director of the CIA and director of national intelligence, and to come out and say that there was no investigation, there's nothing there. Everything is pointing to the there right now. And
Malcolm,
we are going to see this thing implode very soon.
Yeah, well, it seems like it. I mean, again, we keep saying which shoe to drop. I mean, I don't know which story. I mean, obviously, Michael Cohen is now under investigation. Gorka, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah, the Russian, with VEB Bank. You know, there are, you know, forget the analogy of shoes to drop, okay?
Yeah.
This is like being under a flock of seagulls, okay? There's the things that are dropping in this are virtually incredible. And, you know, Michael Cohen, who, by the way, Josh Marshall on Talking Points Memo, did an excellent analysis where he said, pay attention to Michael Cohen. He is not Trump's lawyer. He is more like a business manager of Trump, and that the FBI went through all of his, you know, his past deals, so to speak, and they found this link with Russian banks, of which Jared Kushner is also related, right? The Venosh Economic Bank, VEB, which we call the Bank of Spies. The guy is a former KGB officer who was put in by Putin, and they fund FSB intelligence operations. Kushner went to that bank, possibly for a loan, and that's maybe what that private communications link connected to.
I was going to
Cohen as well.
Right. Well, this obviously the other story. The Russian government officials discussed having potentially derogatory information about Trump and some of his aides in conversations intercepted by U.S. intelligence during the campaign. And it obviously said it is likely of a financial nature. What do you make of that story?
Well, I don't think, first, let me just give a little intel warning here. That did not come from U.S. intelligence. That may have come through a report within the pathway of U.S. intelligence, because something like that, this is what we call crown jewels information. You burn your source forever when you release a report like that. I think, and I've been saying this since last July, Europe, some intelligence agency in Europe just is zero fricks to give, and they just said, that's it, we're dropping this information on the United States, and it's now in the United States reporting pipeline because they have FISA warrants out.
Right.
So this is probably, you know, Estonia or Ukraine or Poland. They've just decided to drop these internal communications that they have on the Russians and just let the United States know. Next is coming transcripts and tape recordings once the FBI gets it.
Wow.
But this story out there is utterly amazing. First off, if it's real, and I always characterize that as if it's real, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The Russians may have released this story to
burn
Jared Kushner. But if this story is real, then, you know, this thing went way, way far away from just being a regular old RICO probe to essentially being a intelligence operation where the Espionage Act is going to come into play.
Well, right. Explain that tweet of yours. You said unsecure communications when highly secure ones are near and available meant the ambassador call likely deliberately open to ensure intercept to burn Kushner. So
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And as a matter of fact, Phil Mudd did a great job of explaining this yesterday on CNN, my buddy Phil Mudd. You know, if that guy knows his phone is unsecure or he knows his mobile is unsecure and he makes a very pointed call with a very pointed piece of information, it may not have been out to burn Kushner, but it may have been enough to let Kushner know that they have his side of the story.
Right.
Okay. And that they can pressure him and blackmail him at any time at this point. And by getting it out into the U.S. intelligence ethosphere, right, then that means that he will always be dependent on the Russians to back him up. Always.
Wow.
They own him now. And, you know, and this has been done in the past. We do it. Sometimes we have scripts which we give to U.S. diplomats or U.S. officers, and we let things out in an unsecure channel just to see what our opposition will do.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, that story and this conversation with Jared Kushner wanting secure communication, those two things are just spy world explosive.
Yeah. Well, so what do you make of course, Trump is tweeting about them not wanting to talk to Carter Page, you know.
What the hey?
Implying that you know, James Comey and John Brennan's testimony was misleading or false.
This is, you know, his lawyers should dogpile him.
Yeah.
And just grab the phone and throw it out the way, throw it into a shredder. Because he just may have once again performed obstruction of justice on people who are being called into the House and the Senate Intelligence Committee. And he's essentially warning people off from them and also telling them, I've got your back as President of the United States. A year ago, he swore to God he never heard of Carter Page after mentioning Carter Page. Now today, Carter Page is his boy, which means you've just verified that man was in your working under you in some capacity to the point where you're willing to put the voice of the presidency against
him. Right. We're long as usual, Malcolm, but I mean, I can't believe there's people like Devin Nunes who's still out there saying that, you know, this is all a Democrat's excuse for losing the election. When we've got 17 national intelligence agencies saying this is Russia, of course.
You know,
what do they know?
Remember how they found out about Hillary's server by investigating the four deaths in Benghazi.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, guess what the FBI has the power to do in this investigation? They have the power to do anything. They can investigate anything related to Donald Trump in here. If they find out he's doing money laundering, done. If they find out that Carter Page actually, you know, was doing something else or promising something else, they can go anywhere. These people don't understand what they're up against. You would think Devin Nunes and Trey Gowdy would be the people to say, hey, you know, these things can issue subpoenas and can investigate any aspect of your life. Stop talking.
Right.
They're still talking.
Yeah. It really is. It's like, it is stupid Watergate.
Something else.
Right.
Yeah, stupid Watergate. But they're out to cover up and to bring these people into the fold. And that is going to hurt. I mean, it's accelerating my timeline. I said a year. I'm not sure he's going to get a year.
Be still, my heart.
The big I word. Because it just is, it's moving from intelligence to evidence, and that evidence is starting to appear to be of a criminal nature.
Yep. Yeah, yay! Malcolm Nansen saying, don't be patient anymore. Yay! All right. I love you, Malcolm Nansen.
Don't go overboard, guys.
All right, all right, all right. Give Mrs. Nance a kiss for me.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, thanks, Malcolm.